Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
A lot of social media activity coming in on the deer story that we talked about in Pennsylvania to wrap up the second half of hour number one. Newman Price sent us four different pictures of him hanging out with a deer. He says you don't need to keep a deer as a pet when the wild ones will come hang around if you feed them. Like, I'll show up in your backyard if you feed me as well. So what the hell? Dr. Rob Lee says there's a young deer in a Fox Chase neighborhood that neighbors care for. Roams around, lets everyone pet him, sleeps in yards, hand-fed. The Pennsylvania Gaming Commission refused to help. It's really not safe for the poor deer in the high-traffic areas. Because, as you know, they end up being roadkill. All right, let's get down to the news here for round number two at 7:04, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning this Monday morning, March 24th, Kale and Company News Live. We are sponsored this morning by Piazza Auto Group, following up on a horrific accident that happened. This happened Friday evening as we had just wrapped up from an incredible thon for the Travis Manion Foundation, but tragedy had struck, and this was involving two brothers and a puppy, killed two other people in critical condition after one car fell off a highway in Philadelphia. So police now say that two cars were speeding northbound. This is I-95 heading north on Friday evening. One of the vehicles, which was a Mazda, struck a barrier, fell off the road right near Castor Ave and Richmond Streets. Pennsylvania State Police investigating. Four men were inside that car, all brothers from New Jersey. When that driver lost control, they went over the edge and fell into the, this is in the Northeast, in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. This is according to Pennsylvania State Police. Police say the two passengers in the back seat, 18 and 22, were not wearing their seatbelts, were ejected from the vehicle, both pronounced dead. And the driver and the front seat passenger, 18 and 23, they were rushed to nearby hospitals in critical condition. A puppy riding in the rear passenger compartment of the vehicle was also ejected during that collision and was found dead, according to police.
How many feet the drop and the fall off was?
I mean, it's off of, you know, off the overpass. Yeah. Think of an overpass.
I must have just missed this because it happened right around the time that I was heading home from radio.
Oh.
So
yeah, I don't know how you didn't.
I know.
I mean,
well, you see all these, you see 95, especially at night. You see all of these cars that, like, take the two far lanes and they drag race.
Yep.
And that's apparently what was happening here. Jesus. They were drag racing.
My God. Mm.
It's just, like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's a horrific scene.
But an entire family wiped out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, what an awful story.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for that. I mean, I know the traffic was jammed. You know, obviously when it's a death investigation, everything gets shut down. It was a Friday evening.
Oh, God.
And, you know, so it's what a tragedy. So,
well, where did you say it happened?
In the Northeast, Port Richmond section. But,
Would I have passed that or is that behind us? You know what I mean?
Right. Because I'm thinking.
It may be behind us.
It may have, yeah. Because of the
road. Not sure what exit that is off of 95. I'm sure somebody on the YouTube chat will let me know.
I was surprised how long it took me just in general to get home Friday night.
Friday
I would have thought
traffic.
I would have thought at 7:15 heading back home, I was past the rush. It took me an hour.
Yeah. Because it's Friday night.
Yeah. I'm usually drunk at that point.
Stop. Don't admit those things.
Open book here, Stensland.
Well, you can be an open book, but, you know, a little omission never hurts.
It takes an almost an hour sometimes for me to get home at 10:45 in the morning when I'm done with this show. So I thought for sure I would have been 25-30 minutes. It was an hour, and there was no accident. It was just a crawl.
Yeah, that was us. It was same thing.
Yeah,
because we're going the same direction. All right, are we talking about Trump in over the weekend? NCAA.
Do we have that clip ready?
We have a bunch.
We have a lot of.
I have a lot of clips from
video.
From
I know we have 47 cuts today.
Let's do the. Yeah, I'm not going to get through them all, so you might as well. Let's start here with cut 8. This is the ESPN feed.
So do you have him arriving to Philadelphia International Airport?
No. Okay. I have him arriving to the Wells Fargo Center.
So President Donald Trump, I'll tee it up. President Donald Trump's appearance. So these are the final rounds, NCAA Wrestling Championships in Philadelphia. I will tell you that this is being reported by the local media and national media that he was met with both praise and protests. But inside, I think that's where Greg Stocker's taking us, the Wells Fargo Center.
So ESPN was in the middle of doing an interview when Trump arrived. Roll it.
It is what it is. For me, I don't really focus on those things because that stuff comes here today.
There's Trump.
So for me, I just really try to put a focus on just keep getting better going forward.
Standing ovation. And you see those in the front row reaching out their hands. He shakes some hands.
The President of the United States, Donald Trump, in attendance tonight at the Wells Fargo Center.
I think Jim Jordan was with him.
Yeah, I have all that stuff.
Senator Dave McCormick and Tina McCormick.
I have all that stuff.
Were there? Elon Musk.
47th President of the United States.
Here comes the USA chance, I think.
We have a more clear version of that. If you want to...
You can save it.
If you want to do... No. We may as well do it now. I'm not going to get through... I have 40 cuts, dude. Okay. I don't know how we're going to get through them.
All right. Well, let's start to cut you right now.
cut 9, the crowd chants, USA. Elon Musk. Dave McCormick.
Tina McCormick. There's Dave McCormick.
Only you and the guys.
Dave, I'll kick this pass.
Tina McCormick. By the way, worked in the Bush administration, Egyptian-American.
Elon wearing a hooded sweatshirt while everybody else has shirts, coats, and ties. So Elon's dressed like either Nick Cale or John Fetterman.
Cut 10 here. This shows everybody that was there, like, really super interested in watching it.
Yeah.
Jim Jordan.
But Jim Jordan is a big wrestling guy. He was a coach. Wrestling coach.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHG. If you want to follow along with all the videos here.
Jim Jordan looks like every wrestling coach I ever saw in high school.
I was just going to say that he does, yeah.
You know, he just said, I'm surprised he doesn't have cauliflower ears.
Chewing gum.
Yeah. You can picture him with a sweatshirt and a whistle.
Lanky
body.
Come on,
fatty, you got to lose weight.
Yeah. Lanky body, absolutely no body fat on him. Yeah.
Jim Jordan will grapple with you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you notice McCormick, who was also a wrestler and an army captain, obviously, but Senator McCormick is seated. Dina and Mrs. McCormick, as well as Elon, they're all standing.
Right.
But I got a kick out of the fact that, you know, Senator McCormick, he's like, I'm going to stay seated.
But he's a big wrestling guy as well.
Yes, he did. He was a wrestler himself, and he's a huge fan.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Trump, Trump loves all the combat sports, wrestling, MMA, boxing.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That place was pretty interesting. I mean, they were jammed. Penn State, big time. I mean, the state's a big wrestling state.
Yeah.
Yeah, for amateur wrestling.
Now, I'll just ask you this. When you heard those cheers, USA, could you hear anybody booing?
I heard a mix. I mean, I hear cheers, and I hear the, I don't know that it's necessarily boo. But maybe, I guess, when you mix the cheer with the boo, it's,
All the media, I'm looking at NBC, a few fans audibly booed, like, really?
I saw dumb tweets where people are saying, Philadelphia is Trump country. I'm like, dude, Philadelphia's not, I mean, there's a base of Trump supporters, but Philadelphia is not Trump country.
Do 31 here, Phil. This was Second Lieutenant Wyatt Hendrickson, who was, I believe he won.
Yes, he's the one who beat Gable Stevenson.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the heavyweight match.
He salutes President Trump after winning the NCAA Wrestling National Championship.
Yeah, watch this.
Captain America.
Oklahoma State.
Captain America.
Rob, I can't believe it.
My jaw's on the floor.
And Trump gives a fist. Yeah. Fight, fight, fight.
Look at that.
I'm glad that he was the last.
He hugs the president.
That's the last match.
That's the main event. That's
draped in a flag.
That's amazing.
Secret Service all around wearing their red tie.
That's like banner and chief. I'm very proud of that. He came here to support his troops. I put on a show for him. I won him that national title.
There you go.
That was, so imagine that if you are a Trumpaholic. You're a fan. He's the he's your president, and then he shows up for your match, and you win. Like, that's pretty cool.
And he's got a killer mustache, by the way.
He does. I was just going to say that.
Solid stash work.
Yeah, that is a solid.
It's kind of a porn star.
It is. Yeah, it's kind of kinky. I'm a little interested.
So we got that going on. I'll do one of our sponsors, Piazza Auto Group, sponsoring the big victory and Trump's big attendance at the Wells Fargo Center over the weekend. Porsche Delaware is excited to announce its newly expanded maintenance and reconditioning services, now offering care for classic Porsche in addition to general maintenance. So schedule an appointment online today, PorscheDelaware.com. This is big. This is PorscheDelaware.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring us. And Natural Lawn of America sponsoring our forecast. I think you're going to love it. Even though we're starting out pretty rainy today, if you look at this week ahead, we're in spring, and it's a lovely week forecast. So today we're 41 degrees, cloudy, kind of spitting rain, explaining some of the slipping and sliding and accidents for us. 58 degrees is the high today. But after we get through today, we're looking at a sunny stretch Tuesday, as Greg Stocker says, through Sunday. So 60 for your tomorrow, Wednesday 54, Thursday 53, all sunny skies, or mostly sunny, 61 for your Friday. Then we begin this warm up, 64 for Saturday, and Sunday 67 degrees. So, you know, we're moving toward kissing 70 as we head into next week. And we are sponsored by Natural Lawn of America, from organic fertilizer, safer weed and insect controls. Natural Lawn, making your lawn thrive naturally, season after season. Choose Natural Lawn, get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. 800-FREE-SEED. Thank you, Natural Lawn of America, for sponsoring our forecast, this edition of Kaelin Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. On the other side, we'll get into this conversation about cell phones in schools here in Pennsylvania. The headline, most Pennsylvania schools passed on money for lockable phone pouches. It's courtesy of the Philadelphia Inquirer. I've got some of the details coming up. I think we're going to disagree on this show a little bit as far as this story. But we've got about 2 or 3 minutes here. I just wanted to make a lifestyle admission. I am changing something in my life. And no,
uh-oh.
I'm not quitting drinking, and no, I'm not going to quit betting on sports.
And no, you're not changing into a female.
That's correct.
Okay. Good.
I am officially done, until further notice, with going out to restaurants, period, moving forward.
Amen.
I'm done.
Why?
My girls, we had a dance competition in Freehold, New Jersey.
Uh-oh.
Hour and 40-minute drive, wife, daughters, myself, my mother-in-law, father-in-law, my sister-in-law, and a couple of my wife's girlfriends.
All in the same vehicle?
No, separate vehicles. Oh. They came down from the Lehigh Valley. We met there in Freehold. And we went to, so it's at this little convention center, and they've got like this low-energy Golf Galaxy right next to it, and a low-energy like Dave and Buster's with a restaurant and a bar and a sports area and the whole bit. And I was completely checked out on sports because I was dialed into my girls on Saturday, but we had a big gap between my daughter's first performance and my other daughter's first performance. It was like 2.5 hours. So my wife, you know, she stays with the girls, and they're all watching their teammates. I only watch my girls dance. If it's 2.5 hours in between, I got to find something to do. No offense to other kids out there or parents. I don't care about your kid. I only care about my kids. So we go to this sports bar, and I was oblivious to the college basketball starting at 12:30. My father-in-law, who's not a huge basketball fan, says, can we get the men's game on? Because the two TVs that we had in front of us were the women's tournament. So now you can label me a sexist as well, because I was like, all right, let's get the women off. Even women don't watch women's basketball. So our server comes out, and I said to her, can we get the men's game on? It's on CBS. I pulled up my app on my phone.
Wait, and they have the women's game on?
They have the women's game on.
That's a bad look.
So I said, can we get the men's game? And she goes, I'll have to ask my manager. I said, okay, no problem. We put in our drinks. She comes back out. She gives us our drinks. Here's another reason why I'm boycotting restaurants. So there was a Coors Light that was ordered. There was a Bloody Mary and two IPAs for everybody at the table. She did not know the difference between the Coors Light and the IPA, gave it to the wrong person. That's a disaster in its own right. So I said, hey, it's been about 10 minutes. Can we get the men's game on? And she goes, all right, yeah, I'll see what I can do. She goes back. Food comes out. The dude brings out the food, one of the kitchen staff members. And I said to him, can we get the basketball game on channel, I don't know the number, but it's CBS. You have ESPN women on right now. I need men on CBS.
Men. I need to see men, damn it.
Long story short, an hour and 15 minutes goes by. The men's game never came on. We pay our tab. We leave. I'm done. If asking to change a channel is like solving and finding the cure for cancer, I'm not coming to your establishment. If your waitress doesn't know the difference between a Coors Light and a local IPA based on the color in the glass, I'm out on your establishment. And if it takes 10 minutes to get those drinks when the place is empty and there's six of you working, I'm out on your establishment. When did restaurants become such a disaster? And I don't want to hear understaffing anymore. Then pay them more.
No,
I'm done.
It's, I will say that whenever that happens in the situation, that's training. Whoever owns and runs that restaurant, the owner was probably, was it a chain?
No, it was local. And I'm not in the I'm not in the business of outing local places. Right. I respect small businesses, but my God,
I would venture a bet that the owner was not there. But also, it goes down to training. That they've got to take time. Whenever you go to any restaurant, I mean, I was a server for years and years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trained so well, but also, and this is the hard part of being in the restaurant business, if you're the owner and you're not there, it's just the service is never going to be as good. You got to be there.
Don't they? There's no urgency. They're working on tips. They are going to be compensated based on, and this goes back to our tipping culture story that we talk about every 6 weeks when somebody writes a column on America's ridiculous tipping culture. You just assume you're getting 25% and you can lollygag around? I don't get it.
I will bet you as well, because you mentioned that like they have a bus person or whatever brings out the food. I would put money on this that at that establishment, all their tips go to one pool and everybody gets an equal share.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
It's ridiculous.
When I was a server, I would never work for anybody.
Agreed.
If I had to do that.
It's server socialism.
It's server socialism.
That's what it is.
Yep. And when you have the server, so when you have the server capitalism,
yes,
you're going to upsell.
Right.
You want some dessert. You're going to know every cocktail because
yes.
You're going to know the IP beer.
Bingo.
You know why? Because you're going to upsell IP beer because they're going to pay more and they're going to want more.
If Stephanie got a 30% tip and Rob got a 10% tip, why do they have to meet in the middle and share that?
That's
It's ridiculous. 855-839-1210. All right, personal
server
stuff aside.
Socialism.
Server socialism. I'm done with it. All right, let's get to this story on the other side. I don't understand why schools are passing on this opportunity, especially in Pennsylvania, where we rank 40th out of 50 states in education. Kale and Company, we're back after this.
We got to make the magic happen with Kitchen Magic. Family-owned Kitchen Magic has been making dream kitchens come to life for more than 45 years and 60,000 homeowners. Yeah, Kitchen Magic's experts, they're going to guide you every single step of the way from the free in-home design consultation to the top-notch installation. So whether you're interested in refacing or brand new cabinetry or complete makeover, your kitchen transformation is covered with high-quality American-made products, and your new kitchen is going to be as functional and enduring as it is beautiful. Right now, you can enjoy an amazing 40% off installation. Just visit them, kitchenmagic.com, kitchenmagic.com, and get an unheard-of 40% off the cost of installation. You're going to love Kitchen Magic. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Critics are slamming the Snow White film as it's on track to be the lowest Disney live action remake in studio history, by the way. According to Deadline.com, they came in around $43 million domestically, $87 million globally. But that's not good when the production cost was $270 million. critics from Rolling Stone, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, all very critical. Rotten, I guess they no longer, is it no longer Rotten Tomatoes? Is it just it is. Rotten now?
No.
Did they take away the tomatoes?
No, I think it's the Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. Maybe Rotten.com is a,
that's it.
Is a different thing.
Okay, Rotten.com, I guess, 44% the number as far as the review. Not good. But, I mean, look, when you cast AOC and you have her out there waxing politically, it's not going to go over well with half of the country.
Can I ask a question? Like, this is all seriousness. I'm not going to see this movie. I don't care about seeing this movie. They didn't need to remake this movie.
I'm honestly surprised my daughters haven't asked me because they went and saw Wicked back around Thanksgiving.
But my question is why are so many people up in their feelings about it? Like, this movie wasn't, Nick Cale, this movie wasn't meant for you and I.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? But there's a lot of white dudes commenting on it.
Yeah.
Commenting on it, but it really wasn't meant for us. It wasn't made for us.
But I think this goes to show, I have this, let me have them here. I asked for these last night. Here they are. So I have three different stories in regards to Disney in general with their remakes in their company. Spiked Online, headline, Disney, a billion-dollar casualty of woke. Daily Mail, woke Disney loses $900 million in recent box office flops as liberal agenda turns off moviegoers. And then The Sun, inside woke controversies ruining Disney's magic, from discriminating dwarf scandals to Prince Charming being canceled. Now, I found these last night, and I wanted to just make sure that I was not of the wrong impression, that it's not just one movie or a set of movies of classics, but these stories that I just mentioned, the source and the headline, headlines, these all go back from 2024 through 2021. So the last handful of years, Disney just seems to be one of these companies that when they remake classics,
agreed,
or when they issue out new, what was the one we were talking about with Anthony Mackie? I know that's not Disney per se.
Captain America. It is
okay.
Disney because it's Marvel.
Okay. See, I'm not like into the comics and the superheroes, so I don't know who creates and produces what from a production standpoint. But when you have these great typical box office blockbusters that delve into social and political commentary.
Agreed.
I just ask myself why, when the track record is out there of, you know that you're not paid to do that.
I agree with everything you're saying. And I have no, everything Disney touches and makes these days bombs.
Yeah.
So I have no.
And I feel bad for them because it doesn't have to be this way.
I have no dog in this fight.
Yep.
My only complaint is that when I go on Twitter, there's a lot of right-wing bros
who are
all up in their feelings about it.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I just felt like saying to him, like, dude, even if this movie sucks, it still wasn't made for you.
Correct.
Like, you're not going to see Snow White anyway. So who cares what your opinion is?
I think it's just when you sit there and you say, hey, if you're going to, now we'll just to go into Snow White specifically with Rachel Zegler, who thank God is not going to be doing Afternoon Drive with Michelle Obama here on 1210, because thankfully Rich pumped everybody up and we got to $115,000 for TMF. Great work, everybody. You can't just come out if you're Rachel Zegler on the red carpet leading up to this with all the media appearances. What is she doing? She's promoting her product. You cannot promote your product and expect it to go over well with the masses if you alienate half of the country, specifically when you came out and you basically, and I don't remember what she said specifically, but they twisted that, well, this is not about woke Snow, this is not about Snow White being in desire and need of a man. This is about woman and women being strong, and we don't, and really what it came off to me as was the unmarried, childless, liberal women out there that vote in the opposite direction of Trump supporters, which is fine, is your right to do, but it's this nasty negativity of toxic masculinity. And it goes back to the election, when we were told, as a straight white cis male that votes right of center, that I am the definition of toxic masculinity. And you want to rebrand the modern day masculinity around guys like Tim Walz and Doug Emhoff. Now, I don't think people necessarily that are consuming Tim Walz or Doug Emhoff commentary are the biggest staunch viewers of Disney movies. But if you are a right of center father and your daughter might not be aware of this movie and you see these stories politically, are you giving your money to Rachel Zegler at the box office? My guess is you're not. So my big takeaway from all of this was the most predictable flop of all time. You shot yourself in the foot with probably 45% of people that would have purchased your product. Why would anybody in a consumer capitalistic society want to do that? I wouldn't want to do that. And I'm in a form of media that skews a certain way. But I still want Democrats to listen to my show. I would still love liberals and progressives to listen, even if it makes your blood pressure rise and you want to jump through the phone and strangle me. I'm not in the business of alienating the total gross ability of my product, right?
Yeah, I will. Just looking at the reviews of this, you know, even the Huff Post, which is a left-leaning, I think, publication, wrote Snow White is a strange hot mess. So it's not. I think part of this is yes, bad publicity that it became political and had an agenda. That was some of the publicity. But for a lot of people, I think the reviews on it are horrible. That they say that
it looks like a complete S show.
Yeah,
well, you can forget reviews. I mean, that's just words. Whether it's from some idiot on social media or a quote paid movie critic, you know, from one of these major mainstream publications, the dollars and cents is really what matters. I mean, you spent two, and if you don't pop that first weekend, odds are your flick will not be a success. And you spent $270 million and drew $43 million, you don't have to be an economics major to realize you're upside down.
GQ007 on the YouTube chat says, Greg, newsflash, it's supposed to be made for families. Little kids don't go to the movies alone. Agreed. But I don't know what it was like, sir or ma'am, in your house growing up, but like, my dad was not taking me to see Snow White. I mean, I wasn't going to see Snow White either because I was, you know, manly. But I don't know a lot of dads sitting through Snow White.
No.
Honestly. You know, like it's something that mothers take their daughters to.
Yeah.
So, again, the movie looked horrible. And Disney, every time they remake these things, they fall flat on their face because they try and do the new woke crap. But it's also seeing Clay Travis and a bunch of men weigh in on it. It's like, bro, it's not like you're not the target audience. Of course, you're not going to like it.
Right.
It's like when a bunch of dudes were commenting on the Barbie movie. You know what I mean? Like again, which not
that,
made for you.
Which that was, if I recall correctly, two summers ago. That was a resounding success, right?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
I liked the Barbie. It had some weird points. It went on too long, but it was overall good.
But they altered it, right? This was not the equivalent of the old school version.
In the original one, you have an evil stepmother and the poisoned apple, and everybody knows what's going to happen, and Snow White falls asleep, and the prince comes and kisses her, and she wakes up, and it's her true love. Yay, it's all happy. In this one, there's not even a prince. Like, what?
And there's no dwarfs, right?
Oh, you can't know. Come on.
That.
Come on, Kale. What's wrong with you? Are you insensitive?
But there are little people.
Yeah, well, I am all for if you want to try to alter it. I mean, the Batman movies, perfect example. They're all kind of different. There's a different twist to Batman. There's a different twist to the Joker. Cesar Romero was not Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson was not Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger was not Joaquin Phoenix. So you can alter Snow White. You can alter Barbie. But when you socialize and politicize the plot line because of today's modern approach, you know what I think this really comes down to? I think a lot of these companies in the last 10 years, and this is where I think Stocker will agree, have seen what people say on social media and just assume that's the way everybody thinks or operates.
Yes.
So if you see 10% of social media super left-wing, you just make the assumption that 90% of Americans are left-wing or vice versa and hate Trump.
You're 100%
right. And this goes back to the big take of everybody in their tribal corners, if you only follow somebody like Clay Travis, you just think that the entire country is the opposite. And that's social media is not a real depiction of today's life.
Agreed.
It really isn't. So you as a business, and look, I don't give a damn one way or the other. If Bob Iger and Disney go belly up, I don't care. As long as I can still get football games on ESPN on a Saturday. For the rest of the Disney stuff, I don't really care. But like you would think that these companies would figure it out. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in the business of spending $270 million and then bringing back $43 million. I mean, I got to pay Rachel Zegler. I got to pay everybody else. You know, where's my cut? I'm upside down. It's a terrible investment. So
in this movie, the whole theme, apparently, as I look at this, she wants to become the fearless, brave, fair, true leader that her parents raised her to be. So the stepmother represents a fascist rule, and she wants to fight for the equity for all villagers. I'm not making this up.
There's that word.
Looking equity.
Yeah.
But she's not really. She feels kind of hopeless because she's being forced to wash the floors and do laundry. Then she meets Jonathan, who's stealing potatoes, and he's basically a thief, but he's a leader of the Merry Men-esque band of the bandits who live in the woods. And he inspires her a little bit or empowers her, whatever. And so now she's taking on the world to become more equitable. And this is not because she's beautiful, even though she is. It's because she's kind.
Do you think a 7-year-old nice. Knows what equity is?
No.
Or equitable?
But this is like a disaster. This is a, what's like, what?
It was destined to fail. And everybody
it's all
predicted
political.
It. Yep.
It
By is. The way, so, between Castrated Deer and Snow White, this is a very beta show today.
It is very. It's a beta Monday, folks.
I have to admit.
We canceled Manic Monday with Beta Monday.
But you know, when you go with your kids to see something, or maybe you're going with your grandkids, and you go.
Just entertain
hopefully
us.
Hopefully they have like a glass of wine. It's one of the, you know. And you just want to sit there and be mildly entertained, and they're entertained, and they're not asking, like, what? What's equity? Why is Snow White? You know what I mean? Like, you want everybody to be entertained.
It's the equivalent of turning on the Colbert Show, and he brings his wife out to talk about abortion. What the hell are we doing
here? It's like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my. Can you just stay in your lane and do what works? Or don't do what works and fail. I don't care. 855-839-1210.
Cut sheet next.
Harry Mays with a cut sheet. Well, it's Greg Stocker's cut sheet, but Harry likes to jump aboard the bandwagon,
it's
so
not,
we let him.
It's not Greg Stocker's cut sheet. It's the cut sheet that we have contributors to.
That's true. By the way,
I just created it.
Phil and I do spend a lot of time contributing to the cut sheet. Lots of emails Phil and I sending out.
I know. That's why I have 40 cuts.
I know. I'm going to stop sending them so you have 22. It's better. All right, we'll get back to that on the other side. Stocker is ready to go on my favorite edition of the Cut Sheet, a Monday installment.
Monday.
And it is up next.
So I've got my write-up, and this is why Natural Lawn of America is so great. You get, I mean, a handwritten write-up left on your door. It's all personalized. But I need some grub. I need some help with grubs, like little bugs, not grub as in food. So that's I'm going to sign up for the safer grub control at Natural Lawn of America. You know, here's the thing, seriously, if you're choosing your lawn care company, right now is the time to choose because we're in spring. Doesn't it just make sense? You would hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family, for your kids or grandkids, for the pets. And that's why my husband and I, we did our homework on this one, and we chose Natural Lawn of America years ago. That's our lawn care company for our home, for our yard. At Natural Lawn, here's what they believe in. They believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without all those harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. From the organic fertilizers to the safer weed and insect controls, they're going to make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. You don't have to take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn's safer services. You can start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Just schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. That's what I have. But it really is customized to you, to your needs, to your lawn. But I have the full service program today. Get your free seeding every year. If you want that greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn, 800-FREE-SEED. 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company for years now. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What?
Oh, that's good.
On the cut sheet.
All right, let's start right with Margaret Brennan, the Face the Nation, had Trump National Security Advisor Mike Walls on. You know, the big talking point now is that it seems to me, and the Trump administration is brilliant for doing this, because they're painting the media and liberals in a corner where they're now defending gang members. Like, it is, I don't know, like, due process. What about due process?
They have put them in such a bad predicament that they're defending gang members and revolting against their once-beloved Tesla vehicles.
Well, Margaret Brennan is actually forced to say, nobody's defending gangs. Nobody's defending gangs. But some of the people that we deported, one was a woman, the other was not even from El Salvador or something like that.
Well, we had the local story in Jersey at the Turkish kebab restaurant where the wife was maybe, they went too far or they made a mistake. Or, you know, Dawn had those stories and the follow-ups for weeks.
All right, let's roll this.
You are saying you have evidence that the government of Venezuela is directing these gangs?
We are saying that TDA is acting as a proxy of the Maduro regime. This is how the Alien and Sedition Act applies. Mm-hmm. And we cannot have district judges interfering with the commander-in-chief's actions to take care of, in the way he deems necessary, a terrorist organization.
So the U.S. is at war with Venezuela?
And I got to tell you, we can debate on Article 2, Article 3. That's a fair debate. However, in this case, the commander-in-chief, President Trump, is taking decisive action to rid our communities of these gangs that are operating in a paramilitary fashion, and that we know Maduro is deliberately emptying his prisons in a proxy manner to influence and attack
that's
the United
different.
States.
That's so but different.
That's how
the U.S. is not at war with the country of Venezuela. I know the Attorney General said
look,
on another
this
network
is not,
she thinks this is going to go to the Supreme Court.
Sure, that's
you
fine. But
have
no,
this
but
fight.
Margaret, we have instances where the IRGC from Iran have operated to buy with and through Mexican cartels to then bomb facilities here in the United States. We've taken decisive action in that regard. We're going to take decisive action in this regard. And we're making a Washington, D.C. distinction when the American people are tired of being terrorized by these gangs.
No one is defending gangs, but the.
Well, but it sounds like it. But it certainly sounds like it from the Democrats on the other side. It sounds like in the case of this judge that wanted to turn a flight around full of gang members that had intelligence packets that had determined what they're doing.
To a man's prison.
Oh, my God.
Salvador said no.
I mean,
so it's
okay.
The question
look,
of if you
I can't speak to those
individual
details
to have
a
court, that you get the list right.
But
right,
under,
that you can verify
right,
that these
under,
people are gang members.
Look, every one of them were here illegally.
Yeah,
so first of all,
exactly.
We had every right and every and should deport every one of these individuals.
Yeah.
If you want
to
make a special case for one, that's fine. But underlying that is the Alien Act that has determined the commander-in-chief has the absolute authority to do this.
All right, so
she's got nothing.
A couple of things.
She's got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
And you know there's a producer in her ear, like, basically telling her to fight him on whatever point, you know, because that's the only way they survive.
Yeah. Fight, fight, fight.
It's so great.
Instead of facing the nation, Margaret, why don't you just face the wall?
Yeah.
All right. Just sit this one out. You know, yes. TDS is such a volatile disease that it leads to you defending TDA, which is Tren de Aragua.
Right.
That's embarrassing.
They don't realize they're walking like directly into this trap too. I mean, they're on cable or on these Sunday morning shows defending gangs, deporting gangs.
I mean, that's what strikes me. Why not ask about, for example, ask for numbers. You've got the source there.
Yeah.
Ask for the numbers and say, since we've seen self-deportations, since we've seen all of this crackdown, have you seen a decrease in the latest crime stats that, quite frankly, we don't have access to that real-time information? Also, why are these other countries, why are they now dealing with you guys, with the United States government, when they said they would not take in these people? There's a lot of information that you can
do some
get.
Journalism.
Right.
Yeah.
Get some information.
Dawn, you need to be
source.
On that show.
I was just going to say that because Dawn knows the inner workings of these networks. She's had a lot of, I'm talking about Margaret Brennan. She's had a lot of bad looks in the last couple of months, whether it was the dust up with Rubio, the battle with J.D. Vance. And there's a lot of people that are speculating. And again, it's social media speculation. Is Margaret Brennan the next big contract to get whacked from the mainstream media?
Oh, wow.
I mean,
Dawn, you need to be on that show.
But
that would be terrific.
Thank you. But here's the thing.
No, we need Dawn here.
Here's the thing. I think any of us could think of better questions to ask, and that's why all of their ratings are tanking. Because you can't help but watch that and think, wow, you're not asking one question about the fact that you had, like, these bad A gangbanger people who came to this country illegally, and they're wreaking havoc, and you can't think of one question to ask.
Well, it's probably because the answers to those good questions that you want asked are successful, like indicate success, and they just will not allow it.
No, and, they will not.
And that's it.
The talking point keeps going back to the fact of, well, we're not at war with Venezuela. No, but maybe we should be. No, in all seriousness, no, but we're at war with gangs coming into this country. Mm-hmm. That's what we're at war with.
And it was an invasion.
Yes, yes. So, stop with this. Well, we're not at war. Technically, we're not at war with it. You know, stop with the, the rule of law says, F it.
And it's amazing. She's a lady, and she's not even cognizant of or willing to admit publicly that there's countless women in this country that are being sexually assaulted, raped, and murdered by people that if we were tough on, they wouldn't be here in the first place.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. All right, let's go over to ABC This Week with John Carl, where he had on Tom Homan. He says, kind of piggybacking off of what Margaret Brennan says, he says that the illegal aliens being sent to in El Salvador prison, one of them is not a gang member because he claims his tattoos are actually his favorite soccer team.
Mm.
So now...
Can we say illegal aliens on this show?
We can say whatever we want to, as long as it's within FCC rules.
All right.
Yeah, no cursing and you're good.
Yeah.
Unlike Bruno, who decides to curse after we tell people not to curse, after we hit the dump button.
Yeah.
Well, he's Italian. He just gets carried away.
I roll 39, Phil.
Let me ask you one specific example, and there are many. But one specific example is somebody that was on that on one of those flights. His name is Jersey Reyes Barrios. He is a professional soccer player in Venezuela, and his lawyer says that he was caught up in this because he had a tattoo that he said was chosen because it is a tattoo that is similar to the logo of his favorite soccer team, Real Madrid. Says he's got no criminal record whatsoever and has never been a gang member. Now that person is now apparently in that prison in El Salvador with no ability now to contact his lawyer, as far as they can tell, no rights at all to defend himself or prove his innocence. I mean, what happens to somebody like that?
Well, look, they can make those claims, and of course we have information that says the complete opposite. A member of TDA, affiliated with TDA, which again...
Will you release that information?
It's a terrorist organization.
Will you release the information?
Look, that's going to be that will be litigated in the courts with this judge. I'm not going to get into every specific case because, there's 260 cases. We got to count on the men and women who do this every day for a living, who designated these people as members of TDA through, like I said, various law enforcement methods. This will be litigated, but as of right now, I've been assured by the highest levels in ICE that every one of these members, every one of these Venezuelans are members of TDA. There's going to be more litigation on this case, I'm sure. But what we did, what was done by the Trump administration, was exactly in accordance with federal law, again, enacted by Congress and signed by a president. We're not making this up. We're enforcing laws around the books.
See, he's He's a soccer player, guys.
The mainstream media
will... So is El Chapo.
He
was a Real Madrid fan.
Yeah.
Is that a Tottenham Hotspur tattoo, or are you a gangbanger?
No, Chelsea.
Chelsea.
So we've reached a point where the mainstream media will believe a defense attorney and somebody that's here illegally with a tattoo that says the tattoo is not what you think it is. And even if it is what the defense claims it is, let's just say that Trump and Homan and Kristi Noem, let's say of all the bad people that they've rounded up, or all the people here illegally, let's say they're 95% accurate and they have a 5% fail rate.
That's good enough for me.
It's good enough for me. You know, this is like the equivalent of you complaining about hitting 64% of your sports bets. That's a great success rate. Quit your bitching.
But it's not 66. So
but it's not 66.
Fell a little short.
Yeah. God.
Speaking of the judges, they get into that because there's all these federal judges that are trying to stop this. 40, roll it.
I'm joined now by the Trump administration's border czar, Tom Homan. Mr. Homan, thank you very much for joining us. I want to start with something you said last week that caused a big stir. You said, I quote, "I don't care what judges think." Now, I know you have since said that the administration will abide by court orders. We heard Donald Trump say the same thing. So what do you mean when you say, "I don't care what judges think"?
No, I don't care what that judges think. As far as this case, we're going to continue to arrest public safety threats and national security threats. We're going to continue to deport them from the United States. I understand this case is in litigation through the Alien Enemies Act, and we'll abide by the court order as litigated. But my quote was, despite what he thinks, we're going to keep targeting the worst of the worst of the worst, which we've been doing since day one, in deporting from the United States to the various laws on the books. We're not making this up. The Alien Enemies Act was actually a federal law. It's a statute enacted by Congress and signed by a president. Now, that's under litigation. But put that aside, we still have Title VIII authority to remove illegal aliens from the United States, and we're going to continue to concentrate on those who are the biggest threat to our communities, the public safety threats.
But you're going to abide by court orders as long as, you know, and go through your appeals process, but you are not going to defy those orders.
No.
Right, and that's what the appellate process is created for. You do your job based on the way you think you're allowed to do the job, based on the laws that are on the books and the acts that you can enact to execute the duties of your job. And if one of these unelected, appointed 600-plus federal district judges believe you are overstepping your bounds, they put an injunction in, you appeal it, and then eventually it goes all the way up to the highest court. That's the way it
works.
Which
takes a lot of time.
Yes, mm-hmm. True.
That's the problem.
And resources.
Money. And
yes.
Resources, correct. It's essentially like a judicial coup, what's going on here.
Yep.
And remember, they are running out of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a piece of this is the cheapest, most expeditious way to carry this out.
Yep.
The way that they're doing it.
Boston Mayor, speaking of the illegal immigration thing, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu, this is cut four, Phil. Doubles down. Remember, we played that clip a couple weeks ago, where that lunatic was shot by police
officers. By the off-duty cop.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, because he was going after people or something like that. And the police commissioner and another official all were apologizing and heartbroken about the
condolences for the
scumbag that was killed.
The victim.
Well, now she's doubling down on giving sanctuary to criminal illegal aliens. Cut four.
We stand with immigrants. You belong here.
Oh, God.
Somos una ciudad de inmigrantes. Yeah. Boston doesn't back down. Yeah. We are a city where the Irish coffee is strong and our opinions are stronger. We may not always agree or see eye to eye, but at the end of the day, we are a family. If you come for one of us, you will get all of us.
I'm trying to find out the answer to this question. I'm looking right now. When's the last time Boston had a Republican mayor? Because that lady has to go. And if a Republican can't win Boston, find a common sense Democrat. The slogan should be, "We don't want Woo."
Before you guys debate this,
but she went to Harvard.
I want to throw one more fact into this whole thing. Well, she's sitting here saying Boston, you know,
we won't back down.
We won't back down. This was a tweet from Bill Malusian over the weekend. CBS News looked into the ICE Boston claims that illegal aliens charged with child rape are repeatedly being released from jail with ridiculously low bail.
Mm-hmm.
They found that, yes, they are, including the following in recent months. A Guatemalan charged with 3 counts of aggravated child rape released on a $7,500 bail. A Guatemalan charged with aggravated child rape, victim age 9 or below, released on $7,500 bail. Honduran charged with assault to rape and mass armed robbery, released on his own recognizance with $0 bail. And Worcester County had 2 illegal alien inmates charged with child rape. Both received $500 bails. Another was charged with fentanyl trafficking and released on $4,000 bail before ICE could arrive. So that is what this city is welcoming in. Mm-hmm.
That's
I'm just telling
you. That's what she stands
for. That's right. What she stands for.
And by the way,
CBS News did that investigation, too, by the way.
Almost 100 years since Boston's had a Republican mayor.
Is that right?
Almost 100 years.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You get what you... You know what? That's what you get. Serves you right.
My God.
Cut 12 here, Phil. Big news over the weekend. An American held by the Taliban since 2022 arrives back in the United States after being released. Roll this.
Fox News alert. An American held by the Taliban for more than 2 years is right now live. Joint Base Andrews back on American soil. Another victory for our country. Another victory for President Trump, a promise kept, and his administration. George Glasman walked off the plane to a hero's welcome. He was from Atlanta originally, traveled to Afghanistan in December 2022. He was detained by the Taliban's intelligence service, but was never charged with any crime or offense. The State Department declared him a wrongful detainee in 2023. Secretary of State Marco Rubio thanked Qatar for facilitating the negotiations to bring Glasman home. Welcome home to this American who is now among us. And
I believe that was Harris Faulkner on Friday, because my sources told me once this guy returned to Atlanta on Saturday and saw the hellhole it's become, he went back to Afghanistan.
But you won't see that on CBS News. I
no.
Bet.
Yeah. And maybe this is a bad job out of me. I did not know that we still had any Americans being detained over there.
What did we have to give up in exchange? Anything?
Hopefully the WNBA.
Stop.
That league is thriving, Nick Cale.
Yeah.
Did you hear Nick complaining, Harry, about the fact that he went to a bar with his in-laws and they were playing the WNBA college championships instead of the
Women's college?
Yeah,
that's on ESPN, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that right? I didn't hear that.
He tried to get it changed to the men's game, and
three times I asked, and they could not actually deliver on a simple request.
What, they couldn't figure out the remote? Or
I was told I need to ask. I have to ask the manager. Let me talk to the manager. I'll see what I can do. Waitress.
I just asked for the remote in that instance. I'm like, just give me the remote. I'll figure it out.
You always go to the bartender.
I've done that so many times.
Yes. Dawn is correct. Waitresses and servers do not control that. The bartenders do.
Right.
You are 100% correct of that. Nick, that was your mistake. You should have gone to the bartender.
Go directly to the bartender, tip the bartender, buy your drink from them, tip the bartender, and get them to change the channel.
Okay.
My advice.
Cut 21 here, Phil. So we had, if you tuned into the 13-hour radiothon we had on Friday for the Travis Mannion Foundation. By the way, for those of you who will rise late, or Harry may not have heard this, we raised $115,000 at $115,953. So that's the total that we raised for the Travis Mannion Foundation.
Oh, that's terrific. Friday. Is that a new record?
It is a new record. It is a new record for 1210 WPHT. We go up every year, but since we started this 8 years ago, it's like far and beyond the amount that we've raised in the past. So thank you to everybody who donated. Thank you to everybody who listened.
It was the best ever.
Yeah, it was a great day. We had Kane. Glenn Jacobs, the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
Yeah. Basically Knoxville.
Yep. So he was on. So if you heard any of the show on Friday, Tim Walz said that he could kick any Trump supporter's ass in a WWE style match. So Kane, who is a former WWE wrestler, said, I see that, and everybody's saying, like, for charity now, $10,000 for charity if this match happens, Kane versus Tim Walz.
I'll throw in another 10 as well.
He was on...
$10, that is.
He was on News Nation over the weekend where he laid the challenge down to Tim Walz. Cut 21.
Mayor now of Knox County, Tennessee. Is Tim Walz a worthy opponent for you?
No, he's not. But he threw down the gauntlet, so I had to pick it up.
All right. And this is now a challenge?
Yes. When Governor Walz said that he could kick most Trump supporters' rears, I in a WWE-style match, actually, I figured that, well, I mean, it may as well call him on that. If you're going to say something like that, you have to expect someone's going to take up the challenge. So I challenged him to a charity wrestling contest.
Have you heard back?
I have not at this point. That's unfortunate because I already have a corporate title sponsor. I'm serious about this. Lots of people have pledged money. I figure we could raise several hundred thousand dollars with this event, and it would all go to charity. We'd split the gate 50-50. Half would go to my charity, half would go to his. So it's a great opportunity actually to have some fun, but then also to benefit a great cause.
Okay, so I'm a golfer. I never really watched wrestling, forgive me, but that probably doesn't come as a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, look at it.
But in that sense, like in golf, you have handicaps, right? For better golfers, you know, they have to give strokes to the worst golfers.
Sure.
Would it be fair that, like, you'd have to do this with one hand tied behind your back or something?
Yeah, we could figure out some sort of stipulation to even the odds a little bit, because I think that he would be facing a huge uphill battle. I think he's about 6'1" and 230 pounds. I'm legitimately 6'8" and still about 300 pounds. And he does not have the pedigree that I have in combat sports. So, yeah, and look, I mean, I'd be open to that. We can have some negotiations about what kind of contest that he would feel comfortable that he could at least survive, I guess.
It's amazing.
I'm telling you right now.
Terrific idea.
I would buy that pay-per-view. I would whatever I have to do to watch that.
Me too.
You're talking about a guy who has choke-slammed Linda McMahon, a guy who's been in the ring with Trump. And now to see, could you imagine, and we're going to get in the weeds here for all the wrestling fans, Stalker and Harry. You know, could you imagine Kane giving the tombstone pile driver to Tim Walz?
That'd be amazing.
Social media, X would go down and crash.
That's not Undertaker's move?
It is his move, but they both use
okay.
it.
Here's the thing, is that Kane is such a professional, and we all know wrestling is, you know, scripted. I don't say fake because it's absolutely not fake.
The guy on News Nation probably thinks it's real.
These guys put their bodies through hell. But Kane, Glenn, would protect him so well in this. Like, he would not, Tim Walz would not hurt a hair. He would not get a hair hurt on his body, honestly.
Yeah. No.
I want to be on the undercard, though.
Yeah, who
I'm going to take on Chuck Schumer in the undercard. Okay, wouldn't that be great?
We'll get to Chuck Schumer.
Harry Mays and Chuck
Schumer. I love it. I love it. Let's book this, shall we? Can we book this?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm all in.
By the way, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. If you're watching all of these videos, you're following along at home or at the workplace or wherever you are, please hit that like button. I see a lot of people watching, not a lot of likes. So please hit that like button, smash that like button, and also hit the subscribe button if you can. Make sure you're subscribing to the YouTube channel.
By the way, I want Harry Sisson in a steel cage.
13. That guy's a creep, isn't he? Shocking, I know. Some social media influencer would not, you know, be.
What, guys always message girls in their DMs.
Good God. Tim Walz. Now, says that he was only joking when he celebrated Tesla stock going down.
Because he realized it was bad?
No, well, now that he realizes their investment fund for the teachers, the judges, and the cops is invested in that idiot.
He's a dope. He doesn't even know he's hurting his own cause's bottom line.
This was part of his book tour, I guess it was, because he's out on tour now, Harry. I don't know if you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And once that book bombs, he'll do a podcast.
Yeah.
Roll it.
Hey, don't really talk. This guy bugs me in a way that is probably unhealthy. And But I have to be careful about being a smartass. I was making a joke. These people have no sense of humor. They are the most literal people, But my point was they're all mad, and I, you know, said something I didn't, you know, probably shouldn't have about a company. He is agree. So I make the case. They're all butthurt about the Tesla thing, but they don't care the disrespect they have shown to employees at the Minneapolis VA who care for our veterans, and they fire them.
Oh, we just stopped it? It was like 30 seconds left in there.
I I choose when we
stop. So we're butthurt over Tesla? No, we're not butthurt over a protest or you saying, I couldn't care less what you say about Elon Musk. But you talk about democracy and violence, and you talk about January 6th every chance you get, yet you are basically still advocating for, because you haven't denounced, the burning of Teslas. And this guy, so that, there's another admission. Remember back on the campaign tour in September when he was like, well, I have a tendency to misspeak and my wife corrects me and I'm just a goof and I'm just a guy. Yeah. So another one of these moments. He could go down, I'm not even kidding when I say this, the worst vice presidential nominee of all time. Mm-hmm. That was the guy that Kamala Harris chose, that she thought he could bring in middle America.
Right. And I'm thankful that she chose him.
I am too. Actually. Please run again.
Terrific choice.
Run it back in 2028.
In fact, I think he should be the lead candidate in 2028.
Yeah. The fact that he says they're all butthurt. No. He's saying this and basically doing, let's not forget, he's basically doing a retraction, because more than a million Minnesotans own Tesla shares in their retirement funds. And so he looked like an idiot when he's celebrating the fact that all these Minnesotans could lose out. And then on top of it, you have all the vandalism and the fires going on and basically domestic terrorism. No, that was a retraction.
It's mostly peaceful, though, don't
you? Yeah. That was a mostly retraction peaceful. That he was... He was trying to be funny during a retraction. I don't think it plays well.
And I love him, of all people, on behalf of the far left, talking about not being able to take a joke. The left, I mean, comedy is on the right now. I mean, mm-hmm. It's amazing how back in the day it was the conservatives that found nothing funny and were always in their feelings and butthurt over everything. Nowadays, you make a crack about a dwarf, you're going to lose your job. The left, how dare you?
I still
make
say
a joke?
Midget.
We should have midget wrestling.
Midget wrestling. That should be on the undercard, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Get a couple of midgets and wrestle.
Sky Lolo, I think was his name.
Yep.
All-time great midget wrestler.
Not Ski-Lo.
Not no. Ski-Lo. That was a bad song from the 90s.
Harry mentioned Senator Chuck Schumer. This was, I think this was from Thursday night, but because we had the radiothon, we didn't get to a lot of the cut sheet on Friday. So the ones I thought were newsworthy, I kept over for the Monday edition. Senator John Kennedy, both of your favorite senators, was awesome. Hannity commenting on Chuck Schumer, and he had this descriptive thing to say about Chuck Schumer.
I don't know. I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking that Chuck's days may be numbered, just like Jimmy Kimmel.
Sean, I don't hate anybody. That includes Senator Schumer. He's very smart. On the other hand, Chuck's often wrong. He never makes the same mistake twice. He makes it five or six times just to be sure. But this time he got it right in supporting our efforts to keep government open. Unless a football coach taught you history, you understand that shutting government down never achieves anything. It just scares people, especially the elderly. Having said that, many Democrats are angry at Schumer. Among them right now, we've all seen the news. He's about as popular as chlamydia. But that to me says as much about the Democratic Party as it does about Senator Schumer. What it tells me is that the loon wing of the Democratic Party is firmly in control.
Well, Harry, if there was any, if you had any issue with Schumer, whatever's left of him now that Kennedy dispatched him, you're going to mop the floor with him in the
absolutely.
Undercard.
Absolutely. Now, Kennedy needs his own show.
He does. He does.
He is terrific.
Yeah. We have a sister station down there in Louisiana. I think it's WWL.
Yes.
If that program director, and I believe I know him, if that program director is a smart guy, and I know he is, he should hire him for Morning Drive.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you, we have awesome. To do. Yeah. I've been advocating for this. Now that I know we have a connection, we need to touch base with this WWL brand manager. We need to have Kennedy up here for a pint in politics. I'm telling you, awesome. That would be hysterical.
Agreed.
Oh, my God. By the way, although I do have a complaint.
Uh-oh.
I mean... what's up with Kennedy's eyeglasses?
Yeah, the red.
You don't like those?
Is that the Keith Olbermann collection or the Mike Mussinelli collection? I was just trying to figure out where the... I mean, that's a bad look. That's the TV... Wow. That's Rosie O'Donnell glasses right there. That's a bad look.
I thought he looked good.
Yeah. Fashion's, I guess, subjective.
Two guys probably shouldn't weigh in on this. Dawn, what's your take on the red glasses?
Well, he probably has some kind of a saying about their, you know, red... I don't know. They're probably MAGA red. They're probably, you know what I mean? Red, little red, white, and blue. I don't know.
I like omelets.
With my red glasses.
Chuck Schumer's patriotic.
As popular as chlamydia.
You guys mentioned what's happening right now with Tesla dealerships. Apparently, if you're driving a Tesla now, anywhere, you're the target.
You're a target?
This is a news story. This is Cut 11, Phil. This is a news story from Seattle, from Fox 13. A woman driving a Tesla gets cut off and stopped in the middle of the road and told to sell her, quote, Nazi car. Can you imagine you're just driving, you're just trying to get, you know, take your kids to school, and some lunatic...
You're concerned about the environment.
Some lunatic stuff. Like, these people need to be...
Seattle used
deported.
To be, yeah.
Well, no, deported. I hope that she called 911 and got video evidence of the person who was violating the law.
Seattle used to be a safe space for Teslas.
There is, because this made the news. So roll the news clip. Just
cut off and berated, and it was all captured on camera. And the woman that was driving said the man that did all this was angry because she was driving a Tesla. Oh, yeah. His Fox 13's Alejandro Guzman explains that woman was just trying to get to a doctor's appointment. She has the latest from South Lake Union outside of the Tesla showroom.
This encounter has left this mother pretty shaken up. She's just grateful that things didn't escalate physically. At the same time, though, she's afraid to drive her car anywhere, as we're seeing a growing number of incidents targeting Tesla owners, not just here locally, but nationwide.
I was thankfully by myself.
Lee was on the way to a doctor's appointment in Linwood Wednesday morning when she says all of a sudden a driver behind her just laid on the horn as they came up to a red light.
A young petite female.
Out of control when a white SUV followed her and cut her off, stopping in the middle of the road. Yeah,
gets out and walks straight up to my door.
Look at this guy.
Window.
Yeah. He's an unemployed barista.
I said, what,
a full mask
what is
on.
The problem?
Wearing a hunting jacket.
You need to sell your car. Yeah. This is a Nazi car. You're driving it. You need to sell your car.
Lee says she's been driving a Tesla for the last 2 years. She says a man wearing a camouflage jacket and a ski mask attacked her for it.
It's really sad, like, that this is what's happening to people who honestly... It doesn't affect how I believe or what I believe. Mm-hmm. Just the car I drive. Being in Seattle, climate's important. Yeah. Our footprint's important. This seemed like the right move for our very busy family.
This, however, isn't the first incident or act of vandalism reported. We've seen attack after attack after attack. Tesla's set ablaze at the Las Vegas Service Center earlier this week, with the culprit leaving behind the word resist. In Oregon, shots were fired at a dealership, and in Massachusetts, charging stations were torched. These incidents have only intensified since CEO Elon Musk has taken a prominent role in the Trump administration.
There you go.
I mean, what are they resisting, by the way?
By the way, you know what I mean? The thing. This happened to me with a guy at the bank. I don't know what his problem was, but I almost ran him over.
You should have.
And for her, she had plenty of room. She could have gone to the right. But don't sit there and wait for a mask and the big guy with most of his face covered in a big black ski mask thing coming at you.
Yep.
Honey, don't sit there. Drive toward him or drive to the side, whatever. Yeah. Don't sit there like a sitting duck. Because she didn't know what he was going
to
do.
But I'm just going to venture to guess that this lady is not a Trump supporter.
No.
Probably not.
She was talking about her carbon footprint. And I'm like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, try not to judge everybody a book by its cover. But she doesn't strike me as a staunch conservative. And this
Greg would have shot him for passing illegally.
That's true. That's true. There's a guy who put a machine gun on the front of his car. Did you guys see that?
It's like a Gatling gun.
I want that.
I
100% want that.
Bruno wanted that 10 years ago.
Go through
a Gatling gun.
Go through traffic like Rambo. Yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. That'll clear out 76.
But you do have the right. You have the right to defend yourself.
Dawn, this happened to you? When did this happen?
This guy, I don't know.
But
I
you're
was
not
like,
a Tesla driver.
No, this was in a bank parking lot. I have no idea. Like, there are crazy people out there. And if somebody gets out of their vehicle because of, I have no idea if he thought I was somebody else, whatever. You don't know.
Well, do you have any Trump stickers on your vehicle?
Yeah, maybe it was political. It might have been like a Trump or a MAGA or something. Maybe okay. That was what it was. But it doesn't matter. It does not matter. I almost ran over the guy. I just like went around him. Yeah. But to get out of your vehicle in front of somebody and stop and then come around, it's like, dude, I'm not waiting
around.
It's
like a road rage.
It's really interesting is I've had the Ridgeline from Piazza for coming up on 2 years next month. And
it's a quality vehicle.
It is. And I've had the Trump Take America Back 2024 sticker on the back of my bumper. I've only ever had at one time at the chiropractor's office, I had this guy that was shouting, and I thought he was making a joke, and then I realized he was serious. Uh-oh. But he was going up the steps, and I had already got my adjustment. But for the most part, I've never had any negative pushback to the Trump sticker. In fact,
you used to have two of them on.
I did, but the one started to peel off, so I took it off. It was a bad look. So I took it off. But even at my girls' dance studio out in Collegeville, I've had moms come up to me in the parking lot and say, and they say it on the down low. And I saw this lady. She was probably 48. And she's walking up to my window, and it was in the winter. And I had my windows up. So I rolled the window down thinking she's either going to yell at me or she's got something snippy to say. And she goes, hey, just wanted to let you know, love the bumper sticker. So I actually feel bad. And I've never really been harassed for the most part. But these Tesla people are dealing with things far worse than a Trump bumper sticker.
Well, this...
You have a right. You have a right.
Of course you do.
Stand your ground and defend yourself.
Yep.
Well, you guys are going to love this video. Get on over to YouTube. YouTube.com/@1210WPHC if you want to see this. This is Cut 25, Phil. This is a grown man, by the way, in Wichita, Kansas, okay? And when you see this man, he's a grown man wearing, I believe it's Lilo and Stitch. You know that?
It's a kid show.
Lilo.
He's
wearing pajama pants with Lilo and Stitch on them.
Yeah, so he's got a mental health issue.
And he keys somebody's Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Throw this video. You can't. It's visual, but look at this.
Yep.
Look at this. Look at this.
Now, see, here's my question though, with all of this, and I know these are happening because we've seen Tesla's
and
torched.
Flip-flops.
Yeah,
and the flip flops. You know, I can't ridicule that, but. How is that being recorded? Who's recording and catching this?
Bro, Teslas
it seems
are,
like a stunt.
Bro, Teslas are walking surveillance cameras.
Oh, they are?
Everything.
Okay.
That's why these people are so stupid, is that they don't realize that Teslas have cameras everywhere.
Oh, so
everywhere is being
so
recorded.
So they're recording all the time?
Everything.
I did not know
that.
Everything around it.
I figured they had the rear view camera with, you know, that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, guys, it drives itself. How could it not have cameras around it?
So,
you know what I mean?
He was literally a pajama boy, too.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
You know?
The Teslas, they're all capable of driving themselves?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
There's a mode you can put the car in that does that.
Oh.
Yeah.
This guy. Can you imagine? This freaking man-child with Lilo and Stitch pajama pants.
Mm-hmm.
Keying like somebody's car. Somebody's $90,000 car. Or
but
whatever
he's
it is.
Low energy. He's got pajama pants, flip flops, and like a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Conflicting
loser.
Messages there, Dawn.
Well,
leather jacket with pajamas.
Right
well, there was
I
the
mean,
video.
Come on.
By the way, Dawn, I don't know if I'm the only one who noticed this, but pajama pants don't always leave much to the imagination, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Didn't look like that dude was a very manly man, if you know what I mean.
Oh, is that right?
You mean he's not slaying the ladies?
All right, run the footage again.
Footage one more time. Maybe it was cold. I don't know. But, bro.
Shrinkage?
Bro doesn't look like he's packing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look at that. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Looks like a woman.
Fat little frumpy toad.
Look at this jerk off.
Yeah. Jerk off, underrated phrase.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's a Harry special. And I've seen other videos. Last week, there was one guy, and I'm not even kidding. You can probably find that I saw it on X. There was a guy that was walking, stuck his hand in his, you know, his crevice on the backside, not the front crevice, the other where, you know, where the good Lord split you, and then rubs his hands straight across the Tesla window.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It was, did he smear anything? Was there
Yeah.
Any...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. A little Nutella on the windshield.
The vile, the vile nature of these people.
Get some man wipes.
But it does seem like Nick, when you were saying that how is this being recorded? Because some of these do look staged.
I do think there probably are some out there staged, but you don't see, that's the thing I hate about any of the stage stuff from the right. You don't need to lie or manufacture anything. These people are psychotic enough naturally. Let them
expose
themselves.
They offer it up themselves.
Yes. Correct.
Good Lord.
Go to Cut 24, since we're kind of doing a mental breakdown portion of the program. This person, this is courtesy of ABC 10. This woman is upset that her new passport says female.
Oh, boy.
God forbid.
Oh, my God.
You talk about first world problems.
Wow.
Some people can't afford to eat.
I know.
This person cares what's on their passport.
Was changed, but my gender was not changed. So legal name, Orion Hodge.
Okay.
Orion Hodge.
Orion Hodge.
Or if I didn't
she might
hear
have
that,
a point, though.
Yeah. If I didn't hear that, I would have called her Orion, because that's how I would pronounce it. But if you were ever to ask me what an Orion Hodge looks like, I would venture to say that's an Orion Hodge.
Yes.
That's your textbook definition of an Orion Hodge.
She's got a point.
All right, can you start it over, Phil? Sorry. Thank you, buddy.
My name was changed, but my gender was not changed. So it states my legal name, Orion Hodge, but does not state the correct pronouns or gender.
Orion sent me this photo of the updated passport. He got it at the end of February. We blacked out any personal and confidential information. It shows the legal name change, but the gender still showing female, not the male like he applied for.
I was expecting my gender not to be changed, and I was mentally prepared for that, but it was still pretty disappointing to see.
Either Hodge is wearing a nose ring there, or that's the worst deviated septum I've ever seen.
you're correct. Whoever said it, I don't know if it was Kale or Harry. Like, first world problems. Like, oh my God. There's people being killed all around the world. And, like, these numbnuts are scared, are all up in their feelings about what gender they are.
It is the most bizarre self-infatuation, self-obsessed thing I've ever seen. You know, sometimes when you're growing up, you obsess over, do I have acne? I'm going to use Stridex and OxyPads as a kid. How's my hair look?
Yeah.
You know, my parents were smokers. Do my clothes smell like smoke when I go to school?
Yeah.
This person's obsessed over what is on a piece of documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Because for them, their identity and letting the rest of us know their identity, unsolicited, is the most important. It is the most self-nauseating thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it. I have nothing against you. Live your life. Just shut up with it already. God.
All right, one more of lunatics on TikTok. This is Cut 29. This is a Kennedy Center employee.
Not John Kennedy.
Who was reportedly fired after he posted an unhinged nude video of himself ranting against Elon Musk and President Trump.
Get to YouTube, folks.
And no, this
is
be
not,
nude.
And this is not Daniel Valdez.
First of all, it's kind of a... It's kind of a small heart if you see what I'm talking about.
A decent little shag pad though.
This guy, the mental illness of these people to think that putting this on the internet, whatever social media platform he put it on, with himself butt naked with a little heart covering his parts. That's a great idea.
Imagine the political calculation of saying, you know what? I don't want the vote of guys like Nick and Harry.
Yeah.
But I'm going to cater to this.
Also, homeboy needs to eat a cheeseburger or something. He's wasting away.
He's kind of like Tom Hanks in Castaway after he was on the island for a year.
We need to reopen the state hospitals.
I agree with you.
I'm telling
you. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD if you want to see this video. Roll it.
In this episode, I'm going to talk about whether or not I should quit. I'm going to ask, does staying make me a collaborator or somehow complicit in a hostile government takeover that's systematically targeting the livelihood and liberty of poor people, queer people, black, brown people, people of color, immigrants, Muslims, victims in war-torn countries, ethnic cleansing women, and gosh, when I put it that way, it seems obvious.
Why does he need to be naked for this?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, look at him sitting.
A few weeks ago... Vice President and confirmed rapist Donald Trump decided.
Can you imagine how bad that blanket smells?
Smells like Gitmo.
After he's putting his bare butt on it.
Siding with killers, endorsing genocide.
I like the artwork though.
I'm telling you, that's a good pad.
Yeah.
The chicks would dig that.
Yeah.
I might have to go with a yellow wall.
Yeah.
But it's like an accent wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing everything in his goddamn power to seem like a big tough man while Nazi wannabe Musk systematically erodes the government while selling Cybertrucks to the next generation of American war criminals. But I digress.
He rode the government.
Was
who is this dude? He's a former Kennedy Center employee.
Yeah.
So
how did he get former that protocol?
Yeah.
Former.
he was fired after he. Oh God.
Wow.
Fumigate that room.
It's just
it's gross.
Imagine calling out somebody a Nazi that's trying to downsize government.
Right.
It's goofy land.
All right. Since we have some people over here from YouTube, we have. By the way, I want to get to Bernie Sanders walking out of a John Carl interview. I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders sat down with John Carl on ABC this week, and he didn't like the questioning, so he got up and left. We will get to that in 1 second. But I wanted to – Nick, you found this. I think Crossing Broad posted it over the weekend. It's like an Eagles fan video from 1979.
It's amazing.
Did you see this, Harry?
This is great.
And I did not, but Crossing Broad is terrific.
This is a – you know, because we all remember – well, we don't remember, but the 1979 Eagles team was not the best, right?
No.
Right?
No.
Roll it.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, famous for the Liberty Bell, Blue Law, soft pretzels – and losing football teams. A true Philadelphia fan learns to boo before he learns to speak. And yet, each Sunday, they turn out, many sitting in seats they inherited from their parents.
It just was a better time.
It does.
I'm serious. It was.
You know, our fans
Jimmy Murray.
Great stock. You talk about our bloodlines, the Continental Congress, the Army. Here was a team that was at least a three-touchdown underdog to the British, and yet they still were able to pull off the biggest win of all. And they'll fight you. They'll fight you. They'll tell you if you're not doing a good job.
Look at his hat. Is that Paulie?
And what they'll do
was this really 79?
Yeah.
They were actually good in 79.
Yeah. Oh, were they?
They went to the playoffs in 80. 79.
Yeah.
They're just talking about the nature of how bad they were for so many years.
Oh, okay.
But, to me, it was more about the nostalgia of what it looked like in the set. Look at the full beard.
It was better.
The hair.
It was better.
It was better.
It was.
It really I was, was there. I was there.
And you want to go back.
I'm serious.
I do.
He's not wrong. It just life was just better then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I wasn't born in 79, but this is kind of like the nostalgia I have for the 80s and the 90s. It's just
right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. Especially when you see the Schuylkill there, and there was no traffic, really.
Right.
And you see, like, pictures of people on airlines in the 50s. Or
you're smoking.
You see, what's the video we played of people walking in downtown San Francisco, I think, in the 60s? Everybody's just getting along, smiling.
There's no human feces on the sidewalk.
I mean,
the good old days.
We've devolved.
Yep. All right, a little trip down memory lane to divert us from the cut sheet there, but I thought you guys would. Actually, while we're in the sports thing, and then I'll get to Angry Bernie. Auburn's basketball coach, Bruce Pearl.
Mm-hmm. Love him.
Followed up their March Madness win on Saturday night by advocating for the release of Eden Alexander, the last living American being held hostage in Gaza by Hamas.
And for the record, Bruce Pearl is Jewish.
He's Jewish, yes.
Roll this.
Me, I believe it was God's plan to give us this success beyond what we deserve, to give us this platform, to give me an opportunity to just start this press conference really briefly and remind the world that Eden Alexander is still held hostage in Gaza right now. An American held hostage. And there aren't enough people in this country that know his name. So I asked the players it was okay if I started out this press conference and just called out the name of an American. Bring the hostages home.
Yeah, it's well said.
Wow.
I'm not a fan of politics being discussed in sports, well, but, if you're going to allow the left, well, then you either give me both or you give me none.
Well, that was my question, because if he would have been support of the Palestinian people, would we have had a different response?
No, my stance has always been, look, either we get both and it's a two-lane highway or we have none of it. I'm not into the one-way street of allowing what you believe is correct and then censoring and trying to cancel somebody for the opposing view. We either make it a hodgepodge of everything or none of it.
But I wasn't aware of that person's name or the fact that they're still being held hostage. So that's news to me, and I'm glad he, alerted me.
You don't listen to my news.
You've mentioned that a couple of times, right? Yeah. Edan, correct?
Because he's actually from Jersey. And
what's with
his
passive aggressive thing with you?
Me?
All of a sudden, yeah.
What?
I don't know. There's just,
what is it?
It's just a lot of comments recently that are super passive aggressive.
What was it?
Anyway, whatever. Just keep going.
Well, it was sarcastic.
Okay.
It wasn't passive aggressive. Okay. It was like really.
Okay.
It's Edan, though, right? Isn't that how you pronounce
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they had said weeks ago they would release him.
Okay.
And then they didn't. So his father's been speaking out. His parents are afraid. You know, they're trying to be diplomatic. Uh-huh. But, I mean, it's you start to wonder, is he in bad shape? What's going on here? Why won't they release?
Is he alive?
Well, because remember,
like, do they have proof of life?
I mean, remember he released that video. We aired the video last fall. Remember that was a hostage video?
I do recall that.
Yeah, so. But remember, Trump, we knew from Trump that out of like nearly 60, only 24 believed alive. Mm-hmm. And that was 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point.
Follow up here to Bruce Pearl with those comments. So Scott Jennings, about 20 hours ago, tweeted that now Scott Jennings, the Republican that we play for you on CNN. He's always in there in the hornet's nest with Abby Phillip and the cast of 10 p.m. Donkeys. So Scott Jennings tweeted, huge fan of Bruce Pearl. And then Bruce Pearl tweets him back, huge Scott Jennings fan. I like to watch news and learn from both sides. I give CNN credit for allowing you to check their spin. You make watching CNN possible. Thank you for your service in loving our country. Bruce, I will say this, regardless if you adhere to Bruce Pearl's alleged or assumed politics, I think he's on the right based on his commentary. It's kind of interesting that in an era where most coaches do not speak out right of center, Bruce Pearl, now granted, he's in Auburn, Alabama, red state, but he's a basketball coach in a media landscape that would typically skewer him. And, oh, by the way, he's the coach of the number one team in the country. So it's to me, I haven't seen a lot of pushback for when Bruce Pearl does talk politics. Usually, if a Republican speaks up, it's the end of the world. I haven't seen him get any blowback.
Well, to the contrary, he's being interviewed right now on Fox News.
Oh, yeah, there he is right now. Yeah, with Kilmeade.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I'm all for him speaking out and saying, like, this is great. But, like, isn't it a little hypocritical? Because if this was Popovich, it would have been a different story, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're probably right. Because if it would have been Popovich or LeBron has done stuff like this, and we criticize him. So we are probably being hypocritical.
Are we, though? I mean, he's a kid. He was like 19 when he was kidnapped. Like, I mean, it's a hostage.
Yeah,
he's been held. You know what I mean?
I think, like, it's not the specifics of the thing.
Right.
It's just the, using the platform to bring something like that up.
What if he would have said, "And prayers go out to the 50,000 Palestinians that have been killed since this war started"? Would we have been okay with that?
Well, I think he'd be on the wrong side of the issue. I think he's, on the right side with Israel. But again, my stance is, and this is just my personal stance, I would prefer no politics in sports or both be permitted to share their opinion. The reason that this is, because what happens is,
all or none.
When some slap nuts with a cat for an avatar tweets me later today, oh no, we don't like when Steve Kerr advocates for the LGBT community, but you're a bigot and you defend Bruce Pearl. No, I'm not defending one or the other. I'm just saying, if you were going to share your politics on a sports stage with your sports platform, that's fine. But I expect to have reciprocity. So it's either we both can do this or nobody can do it. You can't just you can't just be one way.
By the way, I'm not like I think I'm glad he said this, and Harry is right. Like the you know, having him say this, and it made like it's major news everywhere. So like I'm glad he said it. All of this, but I just like I'm feeling a little hypocritical because like I said, if we would have done the Palestinian children and babies, they would have been like, oh, he's woke, he's left, he's this, you know
was
what I mean?
Was he asked the question or did he just come with the statement?
No, I think he just started he the did. Press conference that way.
Okay. He did.
Uninitiated.
Can we get to Angry Bernie? Angry Bernie. So Bernie Sanders sat down with John Carl yesterday on ABC This Week, and he threatened to walk out and actually gets up and leaves because I don't understand the harm in this, but John Carl asks about AOC joining him in the Senate, and apparently he didn't like this line of questioning. You have to see this video, too, because he's all up in his feelings, and he gets all agitated, and YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Roll this.
Back when I first came to the Congress and the House, I helped form the Progressive Caucus. We had five people in it at that time. Now they got close to 100. Frankly, you got a whole lot of good people. Alexandria is extraordinary. I am so impressed by her work in Congress and her, just she inspires young people all over the country.
Would you like to see her joining the Senate?
Right now we have, as I said, just a whole lot of people in the Congress. Okay, Jonathan, thanks.
Wait, I got one more. This is important.
Well, I ask you, okay, you know, you want to do nonsense, do nonsense.
No.
I don't want to talk about inside the Beltway stuff. I got 32,000 people.
I was just asking you about AOC because she was out there.
Yeah, fine, but I don't want to talk about this. What was the last question?
I was just going to ask you one more question about you. I mean, that's all. I was literally your last.
What is your question?
Well, I mean, it's easier to understand.
There's nobody in the chair.
Why is he so angry with that question?
I mean, I want to ask you about your future. This is the biggest crowd you said. You ran for president twice. This is the biggest crowd you've ever seen. Are we going to see you run again? What's your future?
Right now, I am very proud that the people of the state of Vermont sent me back to the Senate with 63% of the vote. Right now, I'm Vermont Senator. That's what I do, and I'm very happy to do it. I am 83 years of age, so, and I'm tired.
And I'm tired. But when you're a Democrat or a far left Democrat and you can't handle Jonathan Carl on ABC News,
what was the problem with that question?
I have no idea. That was bizarre.
What did he think? So he thought he was going to ask him something else, but I think Bernie does not want to be asked the question whether or not he's running for president.
Well, it's because there's a major divide right now in that party.
Well, no, it was about
AOC.
The problem was do you see AOC? Would you like to see AOC join you in the Senate? He goes, I don't want to talk about inside the Beltway stuff.
She remembered last week on Monday we gave you the CNN polling that gave AOC the lead at 10% as the face of the Democrat Party.
But the lead at 10%.
Well, yeah, it was like 10% for this person, 6%. It was like 20 candidates.
Wow. So
there was no runaway favorite by far, obviously. But you look at the fracturing and the splintering of this party. You have the progressives, old and young, like Bernie and AOC. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Schumers and the Pelosis. You have the Squad Dems, which AOC is a part of, along with six or seven others. I know Jamal Bowman has been ousted. He got voted out. He didn't win his bid for reelection. But I mean, Charlemagne said it on. I think Charlemagne was on the Andrew Schultz podcast, or he was on some podcast over the weekend, and he said, "Here's my advice to Democrats, all of them: just stop talking, because literally, there's no direction of the party. It's like six different people, and they're all going in different directions.
Yep,
right.
And they're all crazy.
Yeah.
Two different observations. One, I will say this. AOC, she's the only one gaining traction, this oligarchy thing. 30,000 people in the crowd in Denver with the two of them. That's the first observation. The second observation is Jonathan Carl is so nasty when he has a Republican, especially like J.D. Vance, but any Republican, Tom Cotton, he's just so nasty and demeaning, and his tone is not nice. In this one, I was like, wow, look at how nice Jonathan Carl
was. He was coddling Bernie.
I just wanted you to hate it, and I just noticed that. Do you notice his tone? I've never seen him like that.
But weren't the 30,000 in Denver really there to see Beyonce?
Well, to that point, that's an interesting point, because is he jealous? Is he jealous of all the talk and all the love that AOC is getting? Because he's the grandfather. Right. He's the grandfather.
He's the OG.
Kook.
Yeah, he's the OG.
He's the OG kook.
And
he's
and he might be 83 years old, but he is still with it cognitively.
Yeah.
Oh, sharp as a tack.
Compared to a Joe Biden at 82.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. He's still angry. We remember at the DNC here in Philadelphia, when they put up all those fences, you know, people who don't want fences, and the Bernie people and Bernie himself, they were so upset when Hillary did that shutout. Remember that?
Yep. They're going to have to drag Bernie out kicking and screaming. He's not going. He's not going out on his own volition. No way.
I had this on Friday, but I want to get to it now with the Department of Education being in the news. Randy Weingarten has been making the news.
And is she yelling again?
She's been doing the rounds.
Really pisses me off.
What's interesting to me, and we don't, well, at least Dawn and I know because we were here, the she claims that she wanted schools reopened from COVID as early as April of 2020.
That's a lie.
Dawn, do you remember her saying, yes, in April of 2020, let's open schools? Because I don't remember that.
Mm. I remember Trump wanted, remember he said for Easter, by Easter, things will reopen?
Yeah.
They were all...
Trump. That was like 3 weeks after it hit.
Trump was like, this thing will be gone by Easter.
Remember that?
yes.
So basically, Randy Weingarten is you know, said, oh, yeah, no, I wanted... But the internet lives forever. So here's a little compilation of her in different months of 2020 saying that we should not be opening schools. Roll it.
And if people are in high risk,
this is July.
They shouldn't be in school. They should be doing things remotely. Just because Donald Trump wants to take a risk with people who go to bars or beaches, those of us who have spent our life teaching kids are not going to take a risk with kids or with our members' lives.
July of 2020.
Remote and hybrid are really the only two ways you can reopen schools safely.
You got to delay school opening because if you don't have the mask, how are you going to be able to do
August
this?
Of 2020.
It's a huge difference between working in Walmart and working in a school.
You know, even a situation
like Florida,
where it was pretty clear that schools should not reopen, and where Miami schools did not reopen because you had people who were courageous and who were willing to defy DeSantis's denials.
And they're, why are they closing now?
November
of 2020.
Martha, they're closing now because what the city said,
election
and
coming up.
Frankly, what lots of other places are also seeing is a huge skyrocketing increase.
Okay, now
in
you're
the virus
you're not
surge.
Listening to me. What they're telling us, though, is that the wisest scientific move is to have children in school.
Is that they're trying to figure out a regional way of opening and closing, like they did after
they don't
the
need
Jewish
to close.
Holidays.
That's the point.
In the
they
middle
don't
of...
need to close. Is the point,
Martha,
that when you hit that date,
no,
it says a measurement established by the teachers' union over the summer in order to reach an agreement to reopen in the first place was a 3% threshold.
The mayor set the 3% threshold. What the teachers' union did in New York City afterwards was to say these
so
are
so you get the point. It's a 7 minute montage of her of her arguing to not keep schools open.
Well, and we read the emails that were released in the last couple of years on this show that said no, she was advocating via her official government email account to keep these schools closed. She's the perfect billboard for the trades.
Yep.
Don't be a wine garden. Go into welding.
Right.
Yeah. We should
just really quick here. Just remember, this came out like that. What in 2023? Those chummy little texts with Rochelle Walensky. Remember that whole thing? This all of these. This is such a lie, and I'm so glad that you're airing some of the receipts. But they have all those texts.
Yeah. It's so dishonest to sit here and say. It's so dishonest to sit here and say, oh yeah, I wanted schools open.
And get,
like I. The minute that came out of her mouth, I'm like, well, that's certainly not true.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, she's been on cable news. She's been on television saying the opposite.
Yep.
Like, what did she think?
And make 7 months later.
Yeah.
And make no mistake about it. The next time we have another pandemic, Weingarten, Fauci, Sanjay Gupta, Leanna Wen, all of those people that were plastered on mainstream media will have not learned their lesson, and they will advocate and give you the same talking points they gave you 5 years ago.
Yeah, but we learned our lesson.
Oh, I'm not adhering.
Fight, baby.
Go to hell.
By the way,
going to happen again.
By the way, we have more. I want to get into the cell phone thing because I know you had that on the show sheet, Kale, but RFK Jr. said something over the weekend about cell phones that I want to get into, so maybe that can piggyback into this. Meaning we have more for the cut sheet coming up if you want to keep going with
it. We will do that. All right. Thank you very much. Let's get to our friends at Natural Lawn of America. When choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it make sense to hire a company that provides better results and is also safer for your family and your pets? That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company, because at Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today, and when you do, you get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn today at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.